preaching is not all evangelistic. That's what I've been around people all my life, that's kind of what they want to make it. They want to make every service like an evangelistic meeting, and that's not what it's about. Everything's crashed and burned doing that. You know, God's people, when you come to church, you're to get instruction in righteousness. We're to be reproved, rebuked, and exhorted. Amen. That's what the preacher's supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. And the whole goal is to make us better people. Amen. You know, Baptists have this thing where they think that works, anything you try to do good or tell people they ought to do, you're trying to work your way to heaven. Well, we ain't working our way to heaven. But I'm telling you, you're going to be the cause of many people ending up in hell if you don't live right. And if you wear the name of Christ and you're a lousy person, a wretched person, you're deceived yourself and you're causing great damage to the cause of Christ. So, the way I believe is when you come to church, you ought to get some instruction in righteousness. You need to learn how to... I'm thankful to God and the people that He put across my path that challenged me and corrected me and instructed me in the way that's right. Because it's obvious that there ain't much of that being done out there, is it? People don't like that. You know, most people, unless you're really right with God, you won't take it. You won't take being rebuked and exhorted and corrected. I mean, you know, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, you know. Bible also says every way of a man's right in his own eyes. You just think you're right. And we're all that way. And so we need to be instructed. Now, you may think, boy, he's fixing to really be mean this morning. No, I'm not. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes here. Don't have a whole lot to say, but I'm just going to point out some wisdom to you that'll really help you if you would just receive it. If all of us could just put this down as one of the main things to guide our life. You'd be a better person. There'll be rewards in the future. I watch so many people, and boy, they're sowing their future full of regrets. Yes, they're going to get to a place, I know, down the road in the future, where they're going to weep and mourn because of all that they've sown and what they're reaping then. So, let's get to it here. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read verse 32. Bible says there, Hebrews 10, verse 32, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Well, that's another subject, but that is really the way it happens. I mean, when you throw off the devil and say, "I'm done with you, and I'm done with this low living, and I'm going to live for Jesus," you're in for a fight. He ain't going to just say, "Okay, have fun." No, the battle's on then. So after that you were illuminated, you endured this great fight of affliction. And that's the way it is. In Lamentation, but what I want you to notice there is he said, "Call to remembrance the former days when you were illuminated." In Lamentation chapter 3, verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." I'm going to talk to you this morning about remembering things and your memory. Psalm 77, I want to read verses 1 through 11. If you'll just listen, write it down. If you're real quick, you can turn there and read with me. But Psalm 77, verse 1, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and caused and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God well and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night." Well, you're going to have some experience and instruction and knowledge to ever have a song in the night to remember one of these days. You're going to have some nights, too, to remember a song that you got in the night. Y'all listening?
Yep.
It's not all just party and whoopee all the way to heaven after you get saved. You're going to endure a great fight of affliction. You're going to do a great fight. And it's not going to be an easy road. But it's like Gary talked here in Sunday school, it is a joyful road. It's with God. When God is with you, even in the affliction, it's wonderful. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Well, you got to put your phone down to do that.
Yes.
You got to turn the TV off, turn the music off. You got to stop looking for some place to go. You got to get out of the crowd to do this now. You can't just keep on doing that nonsense. You're just circling the drain while you're doing that. You're going to have to get loose from it all. And did some diligent search. He had to ask himself some hard questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? You ever felt like that?
Yes.
Have you ever asked yourself that? Am I done? Is he done with me? I mean, is he ever going to speak to me again? Have I been so careless in my walk with God that God just turned away from me? I mean, is there any hope for me? That's what he's asking himself. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Well, you got to stop and think now. And he said, and I said, this is my infirmity, and I will remember. There he goes again, remembering. He remembered God. He remembered his song in the night. And now he remembers the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. You got to know something to remember it. You got to experience something to remember it. You got to do something to remember it. You got to say something to remember it. If you're just a blank, ain't going to be none to remember. You ain't going to have no store to pull on when you're in desperate straits and you need it. And you're going to be there. We're all getting older. And all of you, even if you're young here this morning, you're heading the same direction I am. And we can look ahead of us out there and see the ones that's out ahead of us and see what they're facing and what they're dealing with and what life's like for them. And so we need to brace ourselves, prepare ourselves, equip ourselves, because we're going to pass right through the same valleys, the same deserts, the same place where they're at. And so you're going to remember when you get old. And the older you get, the more you're going to remember. Now, if you're a child here this morning, or if you have a childish mind here this morning, you just live in today, and you ain't thinking about nothing, and you just reboot every night, and all of that. But if you're older, that will strike you as the truth right there. You live in memories more than you do, more and more as you get older. A couple more verses here I want to read, Lamentation 3:18-20. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. All right. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. We thank you for the good crowd. Pray you'd bless each one that's here, and Lord, that you'd help their soul. Help them, Lord. Everybody's living in a world of adversity and wickedness and trouble on every hand. And everybody's got the challenges in their lives and the things they have to deal with. And so, Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, that you'd minister to each one here this morning with the words we say from these verses we've read here and some more. Lord, we need you to be the minister here this morning, and I pray you would do that. And we ask you to in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God gave us a memory. Now, I know animals remember some things, but it is so obvious that they're not like us. Man was made in the image and the likeness of God. And so we live more in what we're looking at tomorrow or what we're remembering from yesterday. We live more in that realm a lot of times than we do in the today, what's going on right now. Our memory is a body of knowledge. It's an accumulative thing as we go on through life. We're filling this box we've got with memories. Yeah, God gave us that. It's a great gift. It's a great mark of the fact that we're made in God's image and likeness. It's different than all the other creatures. They don't do that. You know, they might remember certain things and they react in certain ways to stimuli, which is the lust of their flesh. I mean, they're hungry or they're something hurt, or they remember things like that. But to ponder truth and knowledge and eternity and life and love and relationships and all that, they don't do that. We do. We do. It's unique to man. The animals don't have a memory like we do. And the memory is a work in progress. It's constantly being added to every day, year by year, month by month. And let me tell you something about it. It's like a box full of pictures. It ain't like a movie. Your memory's not like that. You don't remember things like that. You remember snapshots. You remember moments. You don't remember days. You remember moments. You think about that. It's true. So that's what it's made of, is moments, not days. If you just think about that, it would take a great burden off of you here. I mean, it's so much easier to make good moments than it is to make good days or months or years. There are certain years in my life that are just have a big black X over them because they were terrible. But moments during those times I remember as good. I'm going to have the greatest year this year. Well, now that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bad goal to set for yourself. You better live each day as you can. Live each moment as you can. And you better mark it down that every moment you live, you're filing away memories that you're going to look at down the road. You're going to pull them out and look at them somewhere down the road. So we add to our memory by associations, the people we're around, the people we meet, the people we have interaction with, business deals with, go places with, go to church with, different things like that. Job, school, church, places where we live. We all remember somebody from every place we ever lived. We all remember somebody from school, from a job. I mean, we've got all of these memories of people, see? It's something that we constantly draw upon also. We're adding to it, but we're also drawing upon it. Mostly for entertainment. We just like to tell about stuff that happened, don't we? We like to tell about funny stuff that happened, don't we? We like to remember when somebody done something real dumb. You know, we like to tell about it, don't we? Now, we don't like to be the object of that story, but we like to tell about it if it's somebody else, right? We draw upon our memory for guidance in some present circumstances or decisions. You know, we remember back. If you got any kind of wisdom about you, you do this. You don't make the same mistake over and over and over if you just remember the last time. You know, everybody here has mashed their finger in a door sometime in your life. But do you just keep doing that over and over? Every time you go out of the door, you just careless about leaving your fingers in it or standing there with your door, hand on the door facing while somebody slams the door on it? No, it hurts so bad that you remember. You ain't going to do that again. You're real conscious about that door facing the close. So unless you're just really dumb, you learn to draw on your memory to help you in present circumstances, to make your way less painful, less troublesome, and make life easier. Makes life easier if you remember the mistakes and don't make them again. Now, it's because that memory is a cumulative thing, and the more knowledge and experience we have, you know, that we bank there, the more we're able to understand. Your memory is adding to your knowledge, if you can get that. If our memory were flushed every time we slept, we'd be completely stupid creatures. Do you know that? I mean, if every time you went to sleep, you lost everything, like a computer does sometimes, you know, man, it'd be bad, wouldn't it? You'd start every day making the same dumb mistakes again, getting hurt the same ways again. Thank the Lord it doesn't work like that. We'd never progress in anything. We'd live like animals. That's all we'd ever be. Grubbing around. We wouldn't even have enough knowledge and sense to build a house and get in out of the weather. I mean, memory is what helps us to have sense. You ever think about that? You ever met anybody that just doesn't have any common sense? You say to them, you look at them, you think, oh my goodness, haven't they ever learned anything? Well, that memory of theirs it's not exercise, it's not discipline, it's not working. Some people have trouble with it, you know. It's an infirmity there. Some people have infirmities there, just like they do with their arms and legs and other things. Eyesight and what have you. But it's a lot of people just have an undisciplined memory. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. And that's what I want you to understand. You need to work on that thing. All of us do. You need to pay attention to this. This is a thing that you are doing on purpose, willfully. Every day you live, you're adding to it. You better add good things to it. You better realize that it's moment by moment. Our memory is a record of our life. You know, when I've read it so many times, heard so many people say all through my life, they about had a wreck or about got killed some way, and they said, my whole life flashed right before my eyes. You've heard people say that, haven't you? Yeah. Well, what flashed before their eyes? Memories. Memories. It's a record of your life. It's funny how it works, too, because sometimes we don't remember things for years. We never think of it, but it's still just as clear. When it comes to our mind, it's just like we're there again. That's the way I am. I'll not even think of something or somebody for a long, long time. Years and years. And then something will bring it to my mind. There it is. I can just pull it right out of there and look at the whole thing, remember the whole thing. We remember our sins. And that's one thing we remember very clearly. You better believe me this morning. You'll remember your sins. You may think it's fun while you're doing it. You may think it's smart while you're doing it. You may think you're just showing how tough you are, how independent you are, how grown up you are, how free you are to make your own choices, how in control and empowered you are. But the day will come when you'll remember it with shame and pain. Yes, sir. And it ain't going to be joyful. You'll never remember your sin with joy. No. Do right. Don't do that. Because it's going to be a memory that hurts you. It's one thing we remember very clearly. We remember our afflictions. We remember our problems with other people. And with things. We remember our problems with things. Mike, you guys ain't never going to forget this car. And Seth, you ain't never going to forget that blazer that you got. You'll remember these troubles. We also remember the troubles and the conflicts that we've had with other people. These things are not good. They're not pleasant memories. But that's what he said here in Lamentations 3, verse 19, 20. He said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. You will. I will. That's the nature of this thing that we're talking about here. You will remember these things. The less of them you sow, into this treasure chest of yours, the better off you'll be down the road. And like I said at the beginning, you know, God's people ought to be good people. If there's anything that's hurt the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God, it's the bad people who claim to be Christians. But they don't live right. And they don't treat other people right. And they're not, their works do not glorify the Father which is in heaven. So that's why you need to come to church and you need to hear about how to be a good person. Here's one of the ways. This is mighty important right here. If you'd be conscious of this, there's things to remember. Our memory has the power to have great control of our life. How do you feel when you get out your box of pictures and start looking at it? Makes you feel melancholy, don't it? Makes you feel sad. First thing you know, you'll be crying. Not for joy, but for sadness. Why? Because of all the loss. Because of your regrets. Because you can't imagine where you're sitting right now how many times in the future you're going to look at something like that and you're going to say, oh, if I could only go back to that moment again. Well, that box of pictures takes you back. It can make you melancholy. It can make you excited about the future too. Remembering the past. That's what the psalmist said here. He remembered God's works and His wonders and all of the things. And God tells us to do that over and over in the Word of God. This is a way to exercise your memory to encourage you for the future. Remember the past. Remember what God's done for you in the past. Remember what God's done for everybody else in the past. Look at the Word of God and see what He said He's going to do, and then look what He did. And it'll cheer you up about the gloomy circumstances that you're under right now. God's God. And He always delivers in time. Yeah. We were talking about it the other day when this deal come up here about the church. You know, everything happens. When it happens fast. We talked about it when we were preaching in Exodus about the children of Israel going out of Egypt. I mean, they were there 430 long years. In under hard labor and all of that. And day after day after day. And it just seemed hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Pharaoh said he wasn't going to let them go over his dead body. I mean, and that's the way it turned out. But when they did go out, it happened so fast that they couldn't even gather up what they needed. Their bread was unleavened and everything because they had to get. And that's the way God delivers. I've cheered myself many a time with that. Under long, grueling circumstances that just seemed like they were never going to end. One day they came. Do you realize that that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes? I mean, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast. I mean, it's going to happen so fast you're not even going to be able to understand what's happening. It's done happened by the time you realize what's happened. And that's the hope we got to look forward to. No matter how bad it gets and how long and cumbersome and dreary gets the way. Our memory has the power to have great control over our life. It can plague us and make us miserable, cynical, and fearful of everything. It can make us ashamed, or it can make us proud in a right way. Yeah. Sure can. I'm not one of these that preach you got to love yourself. Jesus said you can't. That's the opposite of the truth. But it's a whole lot better when you sow good seed and you get to the end, and when the harvest time of your life is happening, that you can look back with as few regrets as possible. You know, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. I'm ready to be offered. See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get to that place and you need to shoot for this to when you're old, you don't want to die hard like we saw in Sunday school there. No, you want to die easy. You want to be able to look in the mirror and say, I really did the best I could. That's going to be hard to do. That ain't an easy thing to do. I give it my best shot. I know that I didn't accomplish what I wanted to. I know that I didn't reach my goal, but I give it all I had. That's right. You ever tried to do something that was impossible and you failed? Well, there is a great comfort in knowing that you did the best you could. You really didn't fail if you did the best you could.
That's right.
So, God's instruction to us is to manage this thing we call our memory the right way. As we go through life, we need to be careful about the memories we make. I hear people talking about, you know, they're going on vacation so they can make good memories. Well, okay, that's okay. You can do that. You can make some good memories on vacations. But we need to fine-tune it just a little more than that. We don't need to be looking always to some certain time frame where we're going to do this and we're going to make some good memories in that time frame. When you roll out of bed in the morning, that's when you need to be making good memories. When you meet somebody along the way and you know a need you can help or just be a blessing with a word, a good word, anything like that, you need to live every day, moment by moment, with this in mind. Be careful. You know, it's funny what you remember, isn't it? I remember some of the most, I was telling him the other day about something I remembered when I was a little bitty kid, you know, just a flash, a second of time. There's so many of them in my mind, that I can remember. And why? Why would I remember something so insignificant as so many of these are in my mind? Little things somebody said, you know, this. And some of them really, I don't know that they have any real meaning, but I remember them. See, my point is that you never know as life, as the clocks are ticking around and the hands are moving around, you're living, you never know when the moment, when the second is that you're going to clock that into your memory. So we need to walk circumspectly and not as fools. We need to be very careful as we go through life about the memories we make. It's very clear that we can do a great deal about how to make provision for a happy old age by deliberately choosing to make good memories. We need to realize that one day our life will be diminished to very little more than memories. Esther works in a nursing home. What do the people in the nursing home live on? Not tomorrow. No, they live on yesterday. They live every day reviewing the record of their life. They live every day trying to call up something out of their memory. Good or bad? Depends on how your soul goes in this life. If you abuse it with sin and you treat it carelessly and you just ride it like somebody would ride a horse to death, you just do that with your soul. When you get old, you know what kind of memories you're going to be pulling up all the time? Bad ones. Bitter ones. You're going to have a bitter heart. A bitter soul. And all you're going to feed on is the bitterness and the things people have done to you and the things they've said to you and all the injustices you've suffered in your life and all the mean people and the hateful people and all the bad things. And a lot of times, they'll focus on one thing. You'll hear it out of people, don't you? they've got one thing in their life that they're just focused in on. It was bad and it was wrong and they was done wrong, and that's all they've become. That's all they've become. Just a big ball bucket of bitterness. And then there's other people that you meet and it's nothing like that at all. All they've got to do. I went out there and seen Rob. That was the first thing he said to me. 90-some years old, can't walk, can't, just pitiful shape. But he told me how, he said, I've had a blessed life. God has been so good to me. He said, I'm a happy man. See, now that's where you want to go. And that's why I'm telling you this morning. That's why I'm trying to drill this into you. You want to end up there. You don't want to fight with everybody that comes along. You don't want to defend your little spot of clay, earth, like you're the king of nothing. Don't fight with everybody. Get along with everybody. Don't be mean to people. Don't be careless and a burden to people. Don't abuse people and don't ignore the needs of other people. Be good to other people. Be a blessing to other people. Just say something nice. Get out of the way and don't be a burden and a hindrance and a sore to them. You'll be a good memory for them, and your memory will be blessed. The memory of the just is blessed. I'm going to read that here in a little bit when we get done, but that works both ways. A just person has a memory that's full of blessings. And a just person is always remembered as a blessing by other people. So the memory of the just is blessed. We need to be careful with the words we speak and the things we do to help other people, and by being in the places where we can be a blessing to somebody else. You gotta be somewhere to be a blessing. Church is a good place to be. You want me to tell you where most of the blessings of my life, where I got them? In the church. If I hadn't been there, I would be much, much poorer right now in my treasure of memories. Oh, mercy. That's so true. So many blessings of my life happened at church. That's why I want to be there every time. I don't want to miss nothing. I don't want the ship to sail without me. I don't want the train to leave without me. I want in on everything. I want all the blessing I can get. I don't want just a little bit. All that other stuff will rot, you know. It sure will. Oh, well. We need to realize that one day we're going to get older, and we'll get and the older we get, the more we'll spend our time going through our memories. And we need to realize that one day they'll be our tormentors or our ministers. I've said that to you before, but that's what your memory becomes. It either becomes your minister or your tormentor. So what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's up to you. It's up to me. Ain't nobody else got control of this. I got control of it. I can be in the places where I can be a blessing and receive a blessing. I can choose the words I speak, choose the people I'm around, choose what I do and say to other people. I've got a lot to do with this. God didn't give us this great ability to remember so it'd be a burden on us, but so it'd be a blessing. Oh my. What did he say to the rich man in hell? What did Abraham say to the rich man in hell? First words he said, son, remember. Oh, he remembered. In hell, he remembered very clearly the whole deal. It's not to be a burden to us, though. I mean, our memory is to be a blessing to us. It's to help us to be wiser. Without it, we couldn't become holy. We couldn't be sanctified. We couldn't be brought into the image and likeness of Christ at all. We have to remember things. You know, you go to school. You start in kindergarten, which I didn't. I didn't even have kindergarten when I was a kid. Now, see, that's how old I am. I started in the first grade, but then there was the second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and all that, you know. And back when I was in school, you had to pass. Some of the kids didn't pass back then. Believe it or not, they flunked. I had kids in my class that was 3 years older than me because they'd flunked 2-3 times. Why? Because they didn't remember what they learned. The whole deal about passing is you got to know this stuff. And in order to know it, you have to hear it and remember it. It's an accumulation of knowledge. That's what it is. And so, he gave it to us to be a blessing. And no matter how much we try, we'll all end up with some bad memories along the way with the good. We will. And it's because memories are not made only of what we do and say to others, but what others do and say to us. And it's impossible to live in a sinful world and not be hurt and afflicted by other people. That's what sin is. That's what sin is. It hurts and causes problems for other people. Sin is transgression against God and against other people. You trample on them. You hurt them. Well, you're in a world full of sinners. You're going to get trampled on. And you're going to get hurt. And you're going to remember it too. But we should purposefully call to remembrance the things that encourage us in the way of God. See, you've got control of your memory because you can think and you can choose. Something might pop up in your memory that's bad, but you don't have to just pull it out of there and say, let's look at this again and just live it all over and just sink down into the feelings and everything that went with it. You don't have to do that. And it's wrong to do that. You can't forgive somebody who has sinned against you unless you stop doing that. When God forgives us, what does He say that He will not do anymore? Remember our sin. He doesn't say He's forgotten it. He didn't say it's gone out of my mind. I don't even know what you're talking about. They try to present it that way. That's not the way it is. God never said, I forgot it. He said, I will not remember. I will remember thy sin no more. That means He ain't going to just call it up. He ain't going to think about it no more. You can do that too.
Yes, sir.
You know that?
Yes.
You can do that.
Yes.
I can do that. I've done it. Just say, I'm not thinking about that. Away with you. How do you do it? You put something else in your mind. And the Word of God is a real good thing to fight that with. Because that's the devil trying to torment you through your mind and your memory. Don't let him have control of it. It's yours. Why don't you control it? Why don't you say, get thee behind me, Satan? Why don't you rebuke him and let him flee? Resist him and he'll flee. All right, that's another wonderful thing about the way God designed our memory to work. We tend to remember the good and forget the bad. Now, if you're halfway right with God, that's the way it is. Your memory does that to you. We don't completely forget the bad, but somehow it loses its bitterness and its sharp edge to hurt us. If we're in a right relationship with God, that's the way it is. You remember the bad things, but you just dismiss them and think of something else. Something good. You got to exercise your mind in this. Your mind's a member. You got control of it. Trouble is, people don't keep control of their mind. And in the day we're living in, there's so much noise and distraction and everybody clamoring for the attention and control of your mind that you have a hard time hanging on the reins yourself. But you can. You better. Your future's at stake. Not only your old age, but eternity. You need to get that. So much at stake. This is not so for a bitter, hateful person. Their memory exaggerates and dwells on the bad until it becomes a fantasy of lies that never even really happened. I know people that I was there when it happened. And I know what happened. And I wrote it down what happened. And they have a totally different story now about what happened. They've just dwelt on it and lied to themselves and excused themselves and justified themselves until it's a whole different story to them. It's a lie and a fantasy. And it feeds their miserable, wretched soul. That's all they feed on. We should purposely think on the blessings and deliverance that God has given us in the past. And not plague ourselves with the afflictions and the failures and the bad things of the past. You hear me? Purposefully. You want to be a blessing to others? You want to enjoy a blessed life yourself? Remember the good things. If you remember the bad things, only remember them as a lesson to avoid them in the future and not get yourself in the same mess again. So you got more of those kind of memories. Enough, a little bit of them's plenty. The less, the better. We could, you know, we need to be careful and diligent to prepare this book of memories in our mind to be our comfort in our old age and in eternity. You know, in Malachi, I believe it's 3:16. I believe that's the right scripture. I ain't very good at remembering chapter and verse like that with too many verses, but I believe that's where it is because it's one of my favorite verses. It says that they that love the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it, and he laid up a book of remembrance. It pleased the Lord that his people spoke often one to another. They wasn't fighting. They was getting along with one another. They was fellowshipping and being a blessing to one another, and that pleased the Lord, and he wrote it down in a book to remember it by. Have you got a book of remembrances? Well, you got one in your mind, but when you die, it'll die too with you. Except the memories you share with other people, but you could write things down. I have encouraged you about this forevermore. But, I mean, you just can't imagine what a blessing it would be, what a treasure it would be, what a blessing it'd be to other people, your children, your grandchildren, and Lord only knows who else, if you just write things down. I've kept a journal for 30-some years now. I am so glad. It's a little bit monotonous and it's a little bit laborious to do that. You got to be determined and disciplined to do it. But it is so rewarding. All of the old timers used to do it. You can go to the government libraries. You can read George Washington's diaries. Did you ever read when he was a young man and his struggle with God in his journal? Not what somebody else says he said or what they saw or what they heard. It's him pouring out his heart in his journal. When I see his memories, I'm sure that he went back and read that many a time through his life for strength and encouragement and help. But he's been dead for a long, long time. And how many people you think's read it since then and drew help from it? So these memories that you remember through life, these things you accumulate, the blessings and the experiences and the knowledge and all of that, and the people, you know, you can share those with other people too. Not just yourself, not just to make your old age nice, you can make other people's old age nice and their life better by doing that. All right, The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. Psalm 145 and verse 7 says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." Well, I think that applies to people who have lived a full life and walked with God, and I believe it applies to people who are going to be with God in eternity. "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." We talked about heaven here a week or two ago, and how that we're not to think of it as just a continuation of life here on earth. But we will remember. If the rich man in hell remembers, we'll remember in heaven. And I really believe that. I believe we'll remember the blessings of this life. And that verse is, "We shall abundantly utter the memory of his great goodness, and sing of thy righteousness." All God done for us in this life. Gary talks in Sunday school, first point was God. Which kind of God are you serving? Well, God is good. We all agree about that. Yes, He is. He's good. And when you get to the end of a life, whether it's been a life of ease or a life of hardship, you're going to have to say, God is good. You will. When you look it all over and sum it all up, you can't come to any other conclusion. God is awful good to us. Way better to us than we are to Him. And we're going to remember. If we're going to remember in eternity, and if we're going to remember when we're close to the end of life, well, then I think it'd probably be good for us right now if we would just remember every day how good God is. Amen. And then I think we ought to sow a little sunshine every day. Yeah, we should. If Jesus said that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, I think that'd be something good to remember. Amen. Oh, I wish I could just be all positive about it, but man, I see so many people that are just filling their coffers with garbage for the future. And I know what you're going to be when you get there. You're going to be sorry. You're going to wish you hadn't done it. God's people, what are they? How should they be? Happy? Kind? Good? Gracious? Loving? Kind? Everybody knows that, don't they? Well, then be that way. And everybody will remember you how you were. Now, I've been in church for a long time. And I went to church some when I was a kid, too. And I remember people that I met in church that were miserable old grouches. Yeah. But I remember people in church who were not that way at all. And they were consistently the right kind of people. Just little things that I remember about certain people. So this is what I told you so many times. I remember little bitty kindnesses when I was a kid from somebody who everybody knew was a Christian. I remember just little words of wisdom, little encouraging words, just words. Looks, not even words, just somebody look at you. And their countenance sends a message to you, and you always remember it. Do you have memories like that, where you remember how somebody looked at you? I remember bad and good. I seen Esther give Livy a look last night, and boy, I mean, it changed her behavior. Yeah, she understood the message without a word. Amen. Well, stand with me. Stand. I think you ought to get help when you come to the house of God. And when we come together, that's what we're here for, is to help and to edify one another. And to help us all in this, we're all trying, wanting, learning to be more like God and more pleasing in His sight. And this will really help you. It helps me. And that's how I know if it'll help you. If it helps me, surely it'll help you. A lot of times I think all I'm preaching for is me. I just preach to me. Everything I preach, I really get it because I think and study about it and ponder it. And I know that when I preach it, maybe 25% of what I say is heard. Maybe, if that much. But I hope it'll do you some good. And I hope you'll remember this. And I hope you'll remember that you're going to live in your remembrances one of these days. So make them good ones. Yes, sir. Mm-mm-mm. When we get ready to go to bed at night, a lot of times you know how them sheets are. Some of these days somebody needs to invent one of these fitted sheets that don't get all crumpled up in the middle of the bed. Them stupid elastic on the corners of it is cheap old nonsense. It don't work. What's the matter with them? Need to do something where you can just pull a string on the corner and tightens up. I don't like to get in bed with all that. So I have to fix it, don't I? Before I go to bed. Because I'm going to lay in that thing all night and I don't want to fight that and wake up in the middle of the night. I want it. So I make my bed. Now, I mean, it's made up. She makes the bed every day. It ain't like we just crawl out of it and crawl back in. But the thing is, she ain't strong enough to pull that sheet tight. She just really ain't. Now, I get a hold of it, and I mean, maybe that's what's wrong with it. I've stretched it all. Well, we're making our bed. I'm telling you. Better make it comfortable. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the truths that we've talked about this morning. Please help us to receive them, Lord, as they are the truths of God. And you've made us this way. And Lord, we need to understand it. And we need to understand some things about it. And we need to put into practice the wisdom we've been given here this morning in this matter. Make us better people. We'd treat one another so much better. We wouldn't say unkind words. We wouldn't do unkind things, and we wouldn't ignore the needs and the griefs and the troubles of other people. We'd be a blessing much more if we realize what it's going to look like and what it's going to feel like years from now down the road. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.